From the Rio Grande to the Sabine and the Canadian to the San Antonio. If it's in Texas, it's on Pratt on Texas. Now, here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis done without a donor or management-controlled leash or muzzle. Our Lone Star story of the day, a middle-of-the-pack voting-wise Republican state representative announces a big campaign for Texas House Speaker. It's a practical admission that even if Dade Phelan wins his House seat runoff, he's finished as Speaker, as I've told you before. I'll give you full detail and informed commentary coming up. The Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services. Look out for your people and your bottom line by creating a more reliable and safer workplace with a drug or alcohol testing program from Allied Compliance Services. Visit AlliedCompliance.com or phone 800-411-6906. A Texas story I have been following for a very long time reached the U.S. Supreme Court this week. The grandmother who got elected to city council and then was arrested and jailed by city officials of whom she was critical. We've got that and much more coming up, my friends. Listen to Pratt on Texas anywhere, anytime, on demand, whenever it fits your schedule. Get a recording of today's show and other podcast extra interviews at prattontexas.com. Attorney General Ken Paxton sued two more pornography purveyors online for violating our new age verification law in Texas. He's sued Multimedia LLC and Hammy Media. They're big, major, giant online porno companies. He says, instead of abiding by Texas law requiring purveyors of obscene material to institute age verification systems, the companies present minors who access their websites with pornographic content and they provide no meaningful screening. AG Paxton seeking an injunction against the companies to require appropriate age verification safeguards. The companies face potentially millions of dollars in civil penalties for failing to abide by the law. In fact, HB 1181 can have fines up to $10,000 per day, an additional $10,000 per day if the corporation illegally retains identifying information, and $250,000 if a child is exposed to pornographic content due to not properly verifying a user's age. Now, supposedly, this giant Pornhub has already disabled access in Texas, but these other companies haven't cared at all, and of course they don't care. They're Pornhub purveyors. What? They don't care about your children or anything else, and nothing about right or wrong or anything. We've got a ton of headlines to get to. We'll move those to later in the program as time allows, my friends. Do want to mention one thing. Be sure that you get out this weekend, 3 o'clock showing of 33 AD at the Ragtown Gospel Theater in Post, Texas. People come from all over the region to attend these original dramas. And it's a lot of fun. You'll really enjoy it. Those 2.5 hours or so, the play's not that long. A little gospel concert, and it's a lot of fun with Chip and Polk and all of that. It's just wonderful. This theater is amazing. And it's 33 AD. That is the play. It's an original by playwright Chip Polk. It's the first of this year's season, which is their 18th year, their 18th season at the Ragtown Gospel Theater in Post, Texas. Ragtown.com is where all the details are. You can make your reservations, your groups, all that. You don't have to pay up front. You can do all that and then take care of it when you get there. So if somebody doesn't make the trip, you're not stuck. It's a lot easier than most of these places. They make it easy. It's very affordable. 3 o'clock on Saturdays are the shows. This run runs through the 20th of April, so you need to get there now. This Saturday will be a great time. We plan to be there again to see it again. AD 33 AD weaves together the stories of four very enigmatic figures in the Bible and their part in the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus: Pontius Pilate, Barabbas, Joseph of Arimathea, and the Roman centurion. And it is a very thoughtful play. I really did enjoy it and look forward to seeing it again. It's pretty common. They even have a family circle type membership because a lot of people want to come back and back, and that way it makes it affordable. It's sort of like a season pass, and they get discounts on people they bring with them. It's just a great place. They make it so easy. Look it all up at ragtown.com, ragtown.com, and get out there. Get your reservation in this week, next week, whenever. Perfect for The coming of Holy Week next week, my friends, we're in Passion Tide. What a great time to see 33 AD at the Ragtown Gospel Theater. And we'll be there. Hope to see you. Come say hello if you see us on Saturday, if you get there. Ragtown.com. The big story of the day, our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, Representative Oliverson out of Cyprus, down in the greater Houston area, Cyprus. He's a doctor. He's a doctor of MD, anesthesiologist. Tom Oliverson, held a press conference today announcing a run for Speaker of the Texas House. Now, these are usually done all on the inside and not in the public. This is different. We're in a different situation. Remember, the current speaker's in the middle of a runoff down in his district in the Galveston-Beaumont area, that region. And we've been telling you, a lot of insiders have known that Phelan, even if he wins this runoff and he's getting, you know, huge money to do so from all the vested interests, politically speaking, he's finished as speaker. Now, that doesn't mean, I mean, politics, weird things happen. I mean, he could win and come back and be speaker again, but it makes no sense for the members because now he is absolutely public in every way, crosswise with the governor, who can veto any and all legislation he wants, and with the lieutenant governor, who controls what goes on over in the other side of the Capitol, so stuff out of the House can't get done without some cooperation from the Senate. He's made enemies of pretty much everybody, and if members were to re-elect Dade Phelan, one, it would be pretty disgraceful on their part, given the things that have happened, the drinker of the House. Isn't it sickening that most of them aren't concerned by that? I was reading a political piece in the last week or two where they said, you know, we talked to a lot of members, they don't seem to care about him being drunk and having to call the House, you know, to adjournment or whatever and pause and then missing the next day's legislation, even though it was a critical deadline. That says a lot about the very low level, if any level, of integrity amongst the body as a whole. That alone should have been enough for people to say, you got to go. You can't behave that way. Oh, but they'll all tell you all kinds of things about Mr. Paxton and everybody else. Oh, boy, it's all about, I mean, you know, it's funny. They're just a bunch of vipers and a bunch of hypocrites, and not all of them, but a lot of them are. And the ones that aren't know it. They're the ones that tell me about it a lot. And by the way, those are often people in way other parts of the state. It's not always my own people or whatever. I communicate with these folks, and it, you know, it's always off the record, but there's a tremendous amount of unhappiness there. And Oliverson's announcing his run. Now, everything he says, as you would expect in a prepared press conference, a prepared statement, is going to sound wonderful. Just remember, that's the way campaigns work. And I'm not against Mr. Oliverson at all in this. Maybe he's the right choice, but I'm going to read you his statement because it is encouraging. It pretty well tells you the jig is up now on appointing Democrat committee chairman. Oliverson's one of Phelan's guys. He's been one of the lieutenants and major committee chairman and all of that. But this can be expected. What I found most interesting, Oliverson, and I've got more on him a little bit later, but it is interesting that State Senator Bob Hall, one of our most conservative members of the legislature, attended. Also, Midland State Senator, Midland and Amarillo, Kevin Sparks was there for this thing. Wes Verdell, who won the seat over that moron Andrew Murr that brought all this impeachment stuff forward and still believes Paxton's guilty of everything in the world, and probably including climate change and everything else. Hugh Shine, who was defeated by Hillary Hicklin. Hillary Hicklin was there, and she's one of our listeners. And some other people, a former Paxton defense attorney who won a race for the state house, was there. More in a moment.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit specialtytrucksoflubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Federal investigators blame human error for a deadly natural gas explosion.
We all remember where we were that morning.
We could actually see the smoke from our farm here, which is close to 20 miles away.
I just heard a big boom. The tile plow ruptured into the pipeline. Once the gas got through the intakes of the tractors is when it ignited. I started running as fast as I could. The ground literally started erupting from my feet.
Watch the rest of the story at 3secondslater.org. And remember, FarmSafe starts with 811.
As incredible as it may sound, you can have great fun and create wonderful memories while going to the dentist. Our official dentist, Dr. Sylvia Zuniga, provides the highest level of service and quality possible in beautiful Costa Rica, a world center for dentistry. It's also a world center for tourism, from volcanoes and rainforests to Atlantic and Pacific side beaches. For top dental service technology and amazingly affordable prices, click the DentoCare banner at PrattonTexas.com. Having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
From Reagan to Biden, Bill Clements to Greg Abbott, here's a host who has been involved in it all while being self-employed and fighting government overreach, too. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. So the big news today, State Representative Tom Oliverson, an anesthesiologist out of Cyprus, who's, I think, been in the House four terms or so 8 years, has announced today his run for Speaker of the House in public, really making this a public run. And Mitch Little was the one I was talking about, one of the lawyers that defended defense attorney that worked on the impeachment and defended Paxton. He beat State Rep. Kronda Timmish of Louisville, who needed to be replaced. He was in attendance with this. Bob Hall, Senator Hall, Senator Sparks, Midland was there, other people there. So you can tell that there's been some support rounded up for this. The Dallas Morning News headline was kind of interesting. Tom Oliverson, a Dade Phelan ally, will run for House Speaker. Let me tell you, they're all allies. For the most part, they're all allies of the Speaker until he's not Speaker anymore. And it takes guts to step out and do this. I've told you, and many others have written about how Phelan is pretty much through. If he were to win his runoff and come back, it's just guaranteeing a nightmare for members in their legislation, given that Phelan is crosswise with everybody else involved in the process, who has just as much control as the Speaker does over whether anything really gets passed, whether it even gets a hearing. I mean, you can do a lot of stuff in the House. You know, the Senate's worked hard for years, and they get stuff passed and get work done. You want it to go back to where the way it used to be, where the House does a whole bunch of stuff and it just dies in the Senate. This is what you're guaranteeing for yourself on a lot of things with Phelan. And remember, lots of the bills that are far more important than the stuff that matters to preserving the state and the country. Oh, yeah, no kidding. Most of the legislative stuff is not stuff that's the things you're hearing about, but are real important to these people because they're carrying the bills for donors and people and interests in their districts. If you want to make sure those bills don't get heard or get vetoed by the governor, yeah, you work with Phelan again. I mean, this is pretty much the situation. So Oliverson has the press conference this morning, and here's what he had to say. Again, this stuff sounds great. Well, I know some people that I like. I think they've been pretty good, and everybody gets mad when I criticize them. But the fact is, you can say anything, and they often do say all kinds of things. Somebody else told me the other day about one of the state reps in West Texas. Oh, movement conservative, very, very conservative. Fine, I know that. Person's told me all these things too, but it's your actions that matter. It's not your talk, it's your actions. And when you have a position of power and you don't use that power to advance the conservative agenda, and in fact, occasionally use that power to stop the advance of the conservative agenda or to allow the opponents, the Democrats, to do so, again, your actions don't match your words. We should look at what people do, not what they say. But here's what Oliverson said, and it's great. The dysfunction in the Texas House during 2023 highlights a need for change at the Capitol. 2 weeks ago, Republican voters across Texas sent a strong and unmistakable signal that Texas needs a new paradigm. Ineffective leadership in the House brought about the first. The frustration of the voters underscores the second. So this is a pretty good knee chopping on Phelan. For these reasons, I'm announcing my candidacy for Speaker of the House today for the 89th session. Oliverson says, I've been listening to voters across the state as well as the grumblings of my colleagues, and I understand the need for a new paradigm in the House. Here is my vision. The Texas House is a collegial body, but there is a difference between collegiality and capitulation. The majority must not be held captive by the tyranny of the minority. I believe the majority party should hold all committee chairmanships. Now, what did I tell you in my piece I wrote and it's out there? They've been telling you that working with Democrats has to be the same as empowering Democrats, and that's what he's saying here. That's ridiculous. There's a difference between collegiality, working with each other in good faith, that's what that means, and capitulation. So the people elect us to come to Austin to address the issues that matter to their community. They do not send us here to attend a frat party. This is early in his statement. This is one that all the big wheels in town never understand what I'm talking about. A lot of them get mad about it. Members get mad about it. But that's what it's been for years. It's for a certain amount of the legislators, particularly those in leadership roles, it becomes a big fraternity party. It's all about them. And their little trips they take together and their power and the little stuff they do. It's not about working. And he goes on to say that. He said, they do not send us here to attend a frat party. They expect us to work. I want you to listen to this because you're listening to him express things I've been saying for the last decade. More than a decade. The House should be organized quickly, which it hasn't been for years, and efficiently, and get on about the people's business. Committee chairs should be appointed, organizational meetings held, and the speaker should refer bills, and committees should be holding hearings soon after. The House has developed a... You've heard me say this over and over, and it amazes me that people... Robert doesn't know what he's talking about. I know what I'm talking about. I've covered this longer than most anybody else in Texas. The House has developed a practice of delay during the first 60 days... Folks, by Constitution, they only have 140 days anyway to work. Let me repeat what Oliverson said. The House has developed a practice of delay during the first 60 days. That must change. The governor will undoubtedly declare emergency items early, and once he does, the House should work at the same speed that we use in a special session. And these items should be on a calendar for floor votes immediately. Bingo! He continues, while we have many fine attorneys in the House, you shouldn't have to be one to pass a bill. House rules have been weaponized to selectively punish individual members. Told you. Our parliamentarians have played an outsized role in the legislative process. When members question their rulings, they chaff, and the people's business is left undone. This goes back to Joe Strauss, including Phelan. We have Democrat political operatives serving as the House parliamentarians, and our speakers have been using that in a role far beyond what they should have. They shouldn't even be there if you're a Republican anyway, but they've been using that to kill members' bills. In a new paradigm, Oliverson says, the speaker should be nominated in the caucus and elected on the floor with 76 votes of the majority party. The backroom deals of the past undermined collegiality and drove a wedge between members. That's right. It's not us conservatives driving the wedge. It's these people doing it. And some of them have argued with me privately about this. And I just, after I leave, I'm just, you're too stupid to be a member. If you can't figure out that the way you handle this stuff from the beginning, getting the speaker and organizing the leadership and the way you handle members is where the wedge is. You're just too dumb to be serving. That's what he's pointing out. The backroom deals undermined collegiality and drove a wedge between members. The practice started much of the dysfunction that was on display last session. Members are elected to represent their district. They should never forget that. Too often, members have been compelled to follow leadership instead of their district. In other cases, leadership misses the opportunity to protect members from incorrect assumptions about certain issues in their districts. Leadership protecting. I don't like that. Districts have issues of a proprietary nature. Local bills that have no statewide impact. With few exceptions, these bills should be advanced and adopted by the full chamber. Delaying or outright killing local bills has been used as punishment for members, you know, who weren't on the team or made them mad, or used to extort support for other legislation. This practice must stop. When I think about how a speaker should measure his success, I believe it can be summed up in the success of the members in carrying out the will of the voters. If the members have a good session, then the speaker has a good session. That means that every member should have the opportunity for success, whether in the majority or the minority. back to the nominations process. And he talks about that. And I'm going to pick that up when we come back from the break. I do want you to know, Tom Oliverson's been very good on a lot of things. But in the Big Baker Institute analysis, he sits right smack dab in the middle on the within the GOP caucus on the conservative scale. He is not one of the big conservative leaders. Just keep that in mind. Back in a moment.
Pratt's back in a moment. If we hear from those who pay the bills.
Why does keeping up with the news have to be so hard? It's like sorting through a mountain of garbage. We're here to change all that. 21st Century Watch magazine. It's quarterly, conservative, and completely free. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com. We'll never sell your information. Cancel anytime. Call 903-561-7070 or go to 21stcenturywatch.com for your free subscription.
A North Texas couple wrote, "I just would like to thank you for the connection to Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and crew at DentoCare. They did a fantastic job on my behalf. I've also referred numerous people to your site to contact her and will continue to sing praises for Dr. Zuniga. Folks, they've been back, taking other family. Learn what they have. A quick trip to the popular tourism spot of Costa Rica is great fun and often pays for itself in savings with superior dental care and the highest level of service you'll experience anywhere. Arrange your adventure to Dr. Zuniga by clicking on the DentoCare banner at PrattonTexas.com.
Do you know a veteran in need? Nation's Finest, through the VA's Supportive Services for Veteran Families program, helps veterans and their families struggling with rent, employment, and other housing-related costs. Today, Nation's Finest operates more than 30 locations in California, Arizona, and Nevada, helping thousands of veterans every year. Visit nationsfinest.org or call 1-833-468-9676. That's 1-833-468-9676.
If you want shallow chit-chat, dead air, and amateur analysis, you're in the wrong place. This is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, and here's your prepared host, Robert Pratt.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. If you missed the first part of the show, you need to go to prattontexas.com after 6 p.m. and listen, because I've got to start in the middle of this, and it's very big news. Dr. Tom Oliverson, representative out of Cypress, has announced a run for speaker. He is part of the leadership team. And this is I'm giving you his statement. It sounds really good. You know, I'm more about see what they do. But at this point, you can only go by what the guy says. Back to the nomination process. The House Republican caucus should follow their bylaws and hold a meeting on December 1st and hold successive votes until they achieve the requisite number of votes to nominate a member. I'm fully committed to that process. If I'm nominated, I'll go to the floor in January and work to achieve 76 votes of Republican members. If the caucus nominates another member, I'll work to ensure their election on the floor. To anticipate questions folks are sure to have, I'll address the two elephants in the room. First, the impeachment vote. I think the secretive way in which this was handled, surprising members in the waning days of the regular session and giving them fewer than 72 hours to decide, was a colossal failure of leadership. Folks, it wasn't just a failure of leadership, it was immoral. Let's just leave it at that. Second, he says, the school choice vote. I think leadership missed the opportunity to protect members by allowing that bill to fail. The speaker's race is, and I hate this protect members stuff. This goes back to what I've always told you. Everybody believes the job of the speaker is to protect members, basically from getting unelected, no matter which party they're in. Protect the club. I'm not sure exactly what he means by that. The speaker's race is largely conducted in one-on-one conversations with members. It is not conducted in public like other political campaigns. This contest will be a little different. There needs to be a level of transparency because the conduct of the Texas House has lost the faith and confidence of the voters. I believe the new paradigm can change that. I filed my declaration of candidacy with the Texas Ethics Commission this morning, and I begin my campaign today. I look forward to visiting with my colleagues and earning their support. Thank you, Representative Tom Oliver. Yeah, Dallas Morning News headline, Oliverson, a Dade Phelan ally, will run for House Speaker. Well, we knew it was going to, you're going to have people from that leadership team. Of course, they're going to be running. The question is Oliverson serious about this? He has a pretty good record. He is not, though, among the most conservative. In the Baker Institute review, he is just right on the median line within the Republican caucus on voting. There are quite a few to the right of him, but there are a heck of a lot to the left of him. I think this is important. Normally, I don't get all excited about these things when somebody announces. This one I do because of the things he's saying. But more importantly, I found it very interesting that some of the people who showed up for it to be in person, because that's just a tacit endorsement of his candidacy here. And with Kevin Sparks being there, I think it says you've got probably have some serious Midland folks and others and the Permian Basin behind Oliverson on this. Again, it's a contest amongst the members. That's the news right now. We'll try to talk to Oliverson if he'll do media interviews in the future and see about it. I mean, this stuff doesn't happen. The caucus doesn't meet till December 1st to decide it, and then the vote doesn't happen until the legislature gavels in early January. So that's it. That's your big news today, your Lone Star story of the day. And if you want to read his statement, that'll be up at the show summary at proudontexas.com. Now I want to switch to another big story I've been following for a very long time. I don't know, since, 2019, something like that. And I've had this in the stack. I was going to try to get to it yesterday. This came to the Supreme Court of the United States yesterday. And there was a write-up in advance about the case by Amy Howe of Howe and the Court, also publishes at SCOTUS blog, one of the really good jurists who does a great job. And I've had this in the stack since she put that the preview of this up on Tuesday. Now the other media around the state today is beginning to run headlines about it. Fox News had a story today by Hannah Ray Lambert. Supreme Court hears case of Texas grandmother thrown in jail after criticizing city government. This is in Castle Hills, down by San Antonio. Sylvia Gonzalez is suing the mayor, J.R. Trevino, and other officials, saying they plotted, they conspired to have her arrested as retaliation for criticizing their guy, the city manager, which, of course, violates her right to freedom of speech. The Institute for Justice is representing her. City officials invoked qualified immunity when being sued to shield themselves, and they got away with that through the Fifth Circuit. Gonzalez won a seat on the Castle Hills City Council in 2019. She's 72 years old then, a retiree. She immediately championed a non-binding petition calling for the city manager's replacement, citing ongoing complaints from residents that he ignored their concerns, particularly when it came to the condition of their streets. A standard, normal, local thing. That's how it was put at Fox News. And the debate got heated. And the first meeting as a city councilwoman there and all through the day, I mean, she brought it up. It's the reason she ran. The end of the second day, she straightened up some papers that were strewn across the dais, you know, the desk they sit in for the meetings, and, you know, just swept them over and put them in her binder there. They always give you a binder of stuff, and went over to talk to a constituent. Then a police officer interrupted and told the councilwoman, duly elected, that Trevino, the mayor, wanted to speak with her. And he asked where this petition was that she had been doing. And she asked, well, look in my binder. And she said, well, okay, I didn't know I accidentally scooped up papers there on the dais, put the petition in my binder. The rest of us would say, what's the problem with that? Well, there isn't, except they arrested her 2 months later on a charge of tampering with a public document. She spent a day in jail, had her mugshot all across the newspapers and the evening news. Now, the DA's office dropped the charge later, but her political career was over. Her lawsuit accuses the mayor, Trevino, and former Castle Hills police chief, John Siemens, of using the briefly missing petition to launch a criminal investigation after two other officers found no reason to arrest her. In other words, the police looked in. Okay, you're the boss. You told us to look. They didn't find any reason to charge this woman. So she says the chief then assigned a friend of his, Alexander Wright, to take over as a, quote, special detective. So the fix was in, folks. And they didn't have a summons for the misdemeanor charge. He took it. This special detective took the unusual step of asking for an arrest warrant straight to a judge instead of going through the Barrow County DA's office. She said they wanted to punish me. They wanted to make sure I went to jail, and they did a good job. Supreme Court's considering whether a previous case, Nieves versus Bartlett, can be used to shield Castle Hills officials. This is about police officers making split-second decisions. But if you look at the facts of this case, there weren't any split-second decisions being made. In fact, the ones right there at the time, the officer said, no, there's nothing here. The Fifth Circuit previously ruled that Ms. Gonzalez couldn't prove that her arrest was, they all know it's wrong, but they said, you can't prove it was retaliatory because you couldn't cite cases in which other individuals had not been arrested for similar actions. Well, that's silly because the actions had never come up before. And that, my friends, is a catch-22. The Supreme Court was not happy with that logic in their hearing yesterday. Judge Justice Gorsuch pointed out there are hundreds of thousands of federal crimes and statutes on the books that he can't imagine how many there are at the state and local level. You're saying they can all sit there unused except for one person who alleges that I was the only person in America who's ever been prosecuted for this because I dared express a view protected by the First Amendment and that's not actionable? That is the city's, their lawyer's position in this. And it's a very interesting case, particularly for people who are involved in politics, being good citizens, sovereign citizens, and are seeing all around us, like with the Biden administration going after parents, going to address their school board members, how we're being criminalized for our actions by the powerful, those with the levers of power.
Become a member of the family. Join the Proud on Texas Listener Club free at proudontexas.com. Members get a direct to Pratt email address.
There is a delicious treasure in Abilene not to be missed. It's Bell's Chicken Dinner House, where homemade, fresh, mouthwatering fried chicken and chicken fried steak, fabulous veggies, served family style with yeast rolls, and unbeatable homemade desserts are created for your dining pleasure. Bell's Chicken Dinner House, an Abilene treasure, is open to serve you lunch and dinner Thursday through Saturday and open Sunday for that perfect traditional after church lunch. Enjoy Bell's Chicken Dinner House Thursday through Sunday at Ambler and the Winters Freeway in Abilene.
When you need new tires for your vehicle, trailer, or truck, talk first with the pros at Williams Brake, Tune, and Tire in downtown Lubbock. Williams Brake, Tune, and Tire has taken care of our tire needs for years with the best of service and pricing. Whether it's work vehicles, fleet service, or just your passenger car or truck, they've got the tires you need at the right price. Get tires and full service from personal vehicles to fleets from Williams Brake, Tune, and Tire at 19th and Avenue A in downtown Lubbock. WilliamsBrakeTuneAndTire.net.
Hey now, Robert Campbell with Campbell Containers out here on I-20 between Abilene and Clyde. Our yard is always open, so you can stop in and check out our inventory. Each container for sale has a little orange price tag on the door. I told my wife the other day we might make one into a little mother-in-law apartment, you know, that you can put out behind the house. I'm going to call it the Contain Her.
Robert!
It locks from the outside.
Robert!
Why do the tax and spenders, city hall tyrants, and courthouse kings want him off the air? Listen a while, and you'll know. It's Robert Pratt with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. There is a long write-up previewing this case by Amy Howe of Howe on the Court. I think it was at SCOTUS blog as well. Her material usually appears there. It's titled, Texas City Council Member Argues Retaliatory Arrest. It is detailed, and it's worth a read if you're somebody involved in things. Here are just a few little issues from it to give you the idea of what's going on. The plaintiff, Gonzalez, urges the Supreme Court to reverse the ruling that and tell justices that it provides a loophole for unaccountable retaliation. As long as an official can find a crime to fit a critic, he can avoid accountability. She compares her arrest with those of government critics in Russia, Iran, and China, writing that arresting critics is coercive to the very foundation of a free society. I believe her claim from the beginning is absolutely right in this, folks. The defendants in the case counter that her approach would wreak havoc on law enforcement. No matter how clear the probable cause to arrest someone, they suggest anyone could second-guess any arrest that didn't lead to prosecution by claiming that the plaintiff's outspoken political, religious, or social views or unorthodox social media posts or bumper stickers prompted that arrest. I don't think that's havoc. I think that's something that the powerful have pushed us into. I think we actually need a little bit of that chaos. I believe because I think we're seeing all over the country prosecutions of people for this type of thing. Now, the big argument is you got two different Supreme Court precedents, and this Nieves case is one of the big ones, and they're arguing that should be the standard the city is because that protects them. The Fifth Circuit did not rehear the case, and they let it go to the Supreme Court. In her brief on the merits, Gonzalez contends that instead of this Nieves case, the Court of Appeals should have applied the court's 1977 decision in Mount Healthy City School District Board of Education versus Doyle. In that case, the justices held that if a plaintiff can show that the government's retaliation was substantially motivated by her protected speech, the burden then shifts to the government to show it would have taken the same action even without the protected speech. In the nearly 50 years since the court's decision in Mount Healthy, Gonzalez argues the Supreme Court has only departed from that rule twice, in Hartman versus Moore, case involving retaliatory prosecutions, and in this Nieves case, which Gonzalez characterizes as a case involving on-the-spot police arrest. And she's right in that. Her lawyers are right in that. That's about not second-guessing law enforcement when they happen and making them liable for something when they have split seconds to make a decision. That was not the case, quite obviously not the case, in her situation in Castle Hills. In those cases, Gonzalez or her lawyers explained the court created a presumption that if a plaintiff can't show the absence of probable cause, the adverse action would have happened even without a retaliatory motive. But neither of those situations apply here, she stresses, and it's right. In their brief on the merits, the city officials counter the court's holding in Nieves that probable cause should generally defeat a retaliatory arrest claim should govern the case. In other words, their big argument is under Nieves that, well, if we had probable cause, in other words, we really did, and they did, had video of her, you know, pushing the documents together on the dais and it going in her little binder there, just sitting there. So they say, well, so we had probable cause that she tampered with the government document. That's it. I mean, this is silly. It's sort of like the arguments on prosecuting jaywalking when it goes on all day and they never do anything about it. And then all of a sudden they single you out. And that, by the way, comes up, that very analysis in the case. It's a very interesting case. It'll be very interesting what the court decides. They'll probably try to tailor it if they decide in her favor, they'll probably try to tailor it in such a way. But I think given what we're seeing around the country, it's absolutely time that we remove some of these protections from government actors when they go after people, because it's quite obvious to anybody paying attention that a lot of people are being prosecuted in a way that others are not for the same thing simply because their political position or their political notoriety or their opinions. Switching gears, Today in Texas History, sponsored by Hub City Title. If you're in Lubbock, use them. They're Lubbock's premier title and escrow company, HubCityTitle.com. In 1836, as we're in the Revolution, President Burnett and his cabinet left the plantation home of Jared Gross. They'd used the home as the capital of the Republic for 3 days while retreating from Washington on the Brazos to Harrisburg. In April, before the Battle of San Jacinto, Sam Houston and his army camped on the west bank of the Brazos opposite Bernardo Plantation, which Gross's son, Leonard Gross, had inherited. For 2 weeks, Leonard Gross supplied the army with provisions, shelter, and medical attention. After San Jacinto, Gross's retreat was among the venues considered to become the permanent capital of the Republic of Texas. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by our friends at Hub City Title, Lubbock's premier title and escrow company, HubCityTitle.com. Got a ton of headlines I'm not going to be able to get to. Let me pick a few that I want to get out of. Shirts Elementary school teacher's been accused of indecency with a child, Gabriel Cantu, 42. It's a felony offense, KSAT reporting that. Ex-school band director pleads guilty to federal enticing minors for sex, state charges pending. That's Texarkana Today. He was a former band director in Texarkana in their public school. And he pleaded guilty to the federal charges of using a phone to solicit sex from two male students. So it's all homosexual stuff, too. Babysitter arrested after exposing children to a known sex offender. And she knew he was a sex offender. This from KBMT out of Beaumont. And she was running a babysitting deal in her house and then letting this guy, Troy Howard, have access to the children. This went on for months and months. Terrible, horrible deal. Some guys robbed an armored truck, a Brinks truck, in San Antonio. KSAT tells us DeAndre Nelson, 28, has been arrested and charged with the robbery. They used firearms in it, pulled up. The robbers directed employees to get on their knees, and they stole an unknown amount of money. San Antonio police said that Nelson was already arrogantly bragging that he was going to the casino to spend a lot of money. Again, I point out the absolutely beyond functional level of the IQ of a lot of these criminal people that do stuff. I mean, this thing just happened. Yesterday is when they robbed him. And he's on social media bragging how he's going to go to the casino and spend a lot of money. What a moron. U.S. Marshals arrested a sixth suspect in the $1.7 million heist at Boozer's Jewelers in Waco, KWTX. This happened back in August of last year. Sabrina Glasker, 39, was arrested in California and extradited to Texas on this. There are a bunch of other people out of California that were involved in this big heist in Waco. And an organized criminal enterprise busted in Austin tied to fraudulent paper tags and inspections. Indeed, this company was selling temporary tags and illegal inspections for $180 as a bundle. They were also offering to trade vehicles for firearms. They have been rolled up in a big criminal investigation and arrested. President Biden was in Dallas last night for two fundraisers, yesterday afternoon and evening for two fundraisers, and then left. That's all he was there for. Kidnapped East Texas man was found safe in Fort Worth. Two suspects arrested over the weekend out near Smith County near Tyler. They came to his house, gunpoint, demanded money. They took him, and people got a description of the vehicle, and police in Fort Worth found the two. Julio Cesar from New Mexico and Wally Burt Cordova Rascon from Colorado were arrested. And then there's a big story. I'm going to save that for later in the week about, you know, these big liberal jurisdictions just giving people bonds, no matter how many crimes they commit, just releasing them over and over, even when they're arrested on another crime while they're out on bond. There's a 26-year-old woman who's been given 16 bonds in just about 1 year in Harris County and a few neighboring counties. I'll keep that in my stack for you for later. Oh, another headline, Prosperity Bank shares has gotten the regulatory approval to buy Lone Star Bank shares. They have loans they operate in West Texas. That'll give them 49 banking centers in West Texas. Thanks for joining me, my friends. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.